Hello.
Hello.
Good morning, guys.
Very nice. I just get that sense.
We just watched Elf. We just watched Elf the other night, so you get the whole Santa naughty and nice list.
You have to watch Elf at least once a year.
I got great ideas right here.
Oh, you're an angry elf.
Yeah, there you go. That's one of the funniest lines. You're an angry elf. Hello, Kat.
Hello.
Does somebody need a hug? Do we want to, we can at least do my agenda, which I think is...
You just got minutes.
We did have you down there for first anyway.
Okay.
Should we get going?
Yep.
Trustee Fenn?
Here.
Trustee Dodge?
Here.
Trustee Ruzick? Technology, innovation, and performance. You got an acronym for this yet? Or?
Mike Carroll always got great pleasure out of saying the TIPI committee. Is there a motion?
Approval minutes?
Move to approve the minutes of the regular meeting of Technology, Innovation, and Performance Improvement Committee of November 19,
2018. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Public Works approval minutes?
Move to approve.
Second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Main pump station motor control center replacement?
Madam Chair, this was a bid that is for the replacement of the motor control center at the main pump station. The motor control center controls all the electrical that comes into the station and controls all the pumps, HVAC, anything that's electric there. The station was originally constructed in 1985. The equipment is original to the station. It's reaching the end of its life expectancy. We're having a difficult time finding replacement parts. There have been a number of changes that have been made over the years. Currently, the automatic transfer for the emergency generator is less than what we'd like to see for an emergency piece of equipment. So we're looking to upgrade that. The bid was sent out through BidNet to over 300 firms. 21 firms did download the equipment. We also sent it to four contractors that we were aware that did this type of work. There was a mandatory pre-bid meeting. Two bidders, potential bidders, attended that meeting. Unfortunately, only one person or one company bid on the project. The other company, they ran into some problems, more paperwork problems in getting their insurance, so they were unable to submit the bid through an error on their part. The bids did come in higher than expected. We asked our engineer to help us understand why that occurred. They indicated that the workload that is currently out there is extremely high, so it's not a very competitive market to get work. The cost, though it is higher than we anticipated, we're still recommending to move forward with this project. Delaying the project is actually it's unpalatable because the lead time for procuring this equipment is 6 to 8 months. So if we don't award right now, this would push the project back at least 1 year. If it's approved at committee and board in January, the equipment would be ordered to allow us to continue or proceed with the implementation of the project in the fall of 2019. The work cannot be done during the summer. It can only be done during the off season. So if we wait, it would not be able to be done until 2020. We do have funds in the water fund to cover this extra cost.
So is it just the lead time to get it through the process, and this is kind of like a standardized unit that's to be manufactured, or is it essentially a custom unit with that much lead time?
Every motor control center is custom. Everyone.
And there's no options around that going forward?
No.
And you can't have this system go down, otherwise nobody gets water.
Is that a problem?
Yeah, so I think it might be. You wouldn't be able to wash all that gorgeous hair.
Exactly, smart boy, smart guy. Madam Chair?
Trustee Dodge.
Move to recommend to the Village Board to accept the proposal from Gibson Electric Company of Downers Grove, Illinois, for main pump station MCC replacement in the amount of $1.7 million, $1.62200, plus $79,800 for contingency.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Sportsplex Phase 1 HVAC Energy Savings Contract and Improvement.
The HVAC problem improvements at the Sportsplex is one of those projects that's going to be loved by the patrons, but they're going to hate getting there. One of the challenges with doing this work is all of the entire upstairs essentially needs to be shut down in order to allow the work to be done. There are 11 units that are up in the ceiling that will need to be replaced. They're replacing a large unit on the roof, which will require some structural adjustments. So we've been working with the Recreation Department to try and come up with a game plan to maintain operation of the facility, but still allow the work to be done in a safe and efficient manner. We did explore doing the work all at one time. The cost savings would be about $25,000, not insignificant, and the time savings would be about 2 weeks. But even with those cost savings, the amount of patrons that the Recreation Department would likely lose, because that's where all of the exercise equipment is, it makes it unpalatable again. So we're requesting to move forward with this project, and again, there is a long lead time, and the work would generally plan on being started sometime this summer.
And what they're going to do is they're going to close off certain sections at a time.
We've been able to, in working with CTS Group, and I do have two representatives, David Adam Voss and Jaime Frausto here, if there are any specific questions. They've been able to divide it into three distinct areas. So one area would be closed, equipment would be relocated to allow access to that area, and there would be some reduced services because obviously all the equipment wouldn't be able to fit in the other two areas.
Trustee Dodge?
So I guess John and Carrie, who then is on point for communicating this to the residents? Rec?
Yeah, actually, CTS Group, they have a person that will help create some placard or signs and help with that communication. We've done similar projects in the past. We've done the shutting down the locker rooms
at the health club.
And at both the Orland Park Health and Fitness Center and at the Sportsplex. CTS Group was a great help in facilitating projects like that.
What about direct to our users?
That communication is done through the Recreation Department. They have lists of all their users, so they do communicate. They're actually great at communicating.
So they've got a plan, they know the message, they've got the start dates, that's ready to go?
We've been working on this intently with them, yes. And the start dates are not fully set yet. That's still yet to be determined, the exact start time date. Once this gets approved, then CTS Group will move forward with ordering the equipment. Once they order the equipment, they'll better understand what the lead time is. The specific lead time is and the specific delivery date.
Gotcha. All right, well, I guess then REC knows what they need to do and when they need to do, and that's set.
That's messaging.
Yep. They're fully aware of it, and they're on board.
Got it. Madam Chair.
Trustee Dodge.
Move to recommend to the Village Board to accept the proposal for the Sportsplex Phase 1 HVAC Energy Savings Contract and Improvements from CTS Group of Chicago, Illinois, not to exceed an amount of $805,685.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
ILWARN Mutual Aid Participation.
Madam Chair.
Trustee Carol Ruzick.
Oh, you're going to, is he going to present it first? Or
well, he's been doing it first, but
okay, go
matter.
Ahead. No, go ahead.
So,
you're still right, Trustee Carroll.
Ilwarn is the Illinois Water and Wastewater Agency Response Network. It provides us with an opportunity to utilize other agencies in times of emergency. It puts together basic agreements, so when an emergency does occur, that's all we have to do is go to their website, indicate the specific needs, and that gets sent to all the other communities that are part of Ilwarn, and they're able to provide us with assistance. Conversely, when we have the ability to provide assistance for other agencies, we're able to do that.
Any other questions or comments?
Pretty straightforward.
Trustee Ruzick?
I move to recommend to the Village Board to approve the agreement for participation in the Illinois Water Wastewater Agency Response Network.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Snow removal contractors, contract snow removal services payment.
Madam Chair.
Trustee Dodge.
Move to recommend to the Village Board to authorize payment for contract snow removal services for the 2018-2019 snow season. Various snow contractors amount not to exceed the 2018 rollover and 2019 budgeted amounts.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. That's pretty standard stuff, right?
Yes. It is. In case we go over $20,000, we hope that it doesn't snow for the rest of the season. It's unlikely if we go over $20,000 with any one.
Northeastern Illinois, John. Just think Northeastern Illinois.
Funny. Ready?
Yep.
Water main break emergency repair at 151st and 88th Avenue.
This is just, we had a break, we had to fix it, now we have to pay for it.
Correct. It was a big one.
Madam Chair.
Trustee Ruzick.
I move to recommend to the Village Board to approve the use of water fund contingency funds and recommend authorizing payment to Aries Inc. of Tinley Park, Illinois for water main break emergency repairs at 151st Street and 88th Avenue in the amount of $72,564.82.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
If I just could add, this item is going direct to board tonight so I can facilitate payment to the contractor.
When they do the work, John?
It was November 14th was the break, and the work was done on that next Saturday. We actually had to delay it so we didn't impact school operations.
Adesta LLC fiber installation project.
Oh, you want to give them go explanations?
We've been working with Adesta to implement a fiber network. The total cost of the project was $500,000. As part of that, we had $15,000 worth of contingency. Unfortunately, we ran into a few issues that we exceeded that contingency. I'm asking for an additional $15,000. At the police station, we did some additional work there, tying the fiber into their networks. We had a few problems on some conduits that required partnering with Adesta, between Adesta and Public Works, to complete the work, and it just exceeded our contingency.
Otherwise, it's gone overall pretty well.
It's working great.
Yeah, I mean, we have redundant paths between Village Hall, Police Department, and Public Works at this time with that fiber. We have connectivity up to 131st Water Tower behind Sandberg. And now I've just, literally with this, we've been able to increase the footprint to all the facilities now, including Orland Health Fitness as of today, as part of the initial rollout. But we did add some extra fibers to make it simpler for the police department to connect back to the fiber network. So we ran those 200-foot jumpers back to their data center within the police department. And as John alluded to, there was some issues on our 143rd and LaGrange where the conduit was crushed, and we had to replace those pieces of conduit to be able to pull through.
Just normal day in life crushed or
construction crushed?
It could have happened at any time that that conduit.
So we don't know who
there.
Did it, so we can go get our money back.
No,
unfortunately.
Nice try.
Yeah, what the hell? You got to ask.
Yeah, you got to ask. What the heck? Is there a motion?
Yeah, Madam Chair.
Trustee Dodge.
Move to recommend to the Village Board to approve the change order from Adesta LLC of Willowbrook, Illinois for an additional cost of $15,503.17.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Fairway Estates Stage 3 Drainage and Water Main Improvement.
This is a continuation of a project that was started in 2017. In 2017, we hired Burke LLC as a GMP project to complete the stormwater improvements that were part of the Maycliff project. In addition to that, we also implemented the first phase of doing water main replacement in the Fairway subdivision. In 2018, we adjusted things a little bit, and we did the work, the water main work, over the winter. It's very outside the box for us. We normally like doing construction work during the construction season. But Burke came to us and said that they thought this would be a good fit for this area. The residents in the area were quite pleased with the way the work went. During the winter, nobody is outside. Nobody has their windows open, so the noise and dust that's created by construction is not a big deal. They also were able to get a little bit extra plowing service because as part of the agreement, the contractor is responsible for clearing the snow because obviously they're digging in the streets and stuff. So so the contractor's out there with a loader removing the snow. In a manner that's a lot more efficient or better than we're able to do with just our plows, though we do partner with them. So we wanted to try and do this project, this type of project again this year for the third phase, the 2019 work, and there's still a 2020 work that's anticipated to be done, obviously in 2020. Also included with this work is the addition of some storm sewers that were identified as part of our neighborhood outreach that we did at the very beginning of this work. So we identified some issues with residents' assistance, and we're addressing those issues as well.
Madam Chair,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Do you have? Comments?
I was just going to ask. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
So, John, I mean, there are no real issues with durability of anything when you're building in winter as opposed to the traditional summer months?
No.
I mean, in terms of breaking ground or any kind of, you're doing the pipes or the materials?
No, everything is the same. That was one of our concerns was, what was the impact on anything? And
if you're doing any kind of concrete or ceiling joints or whatever, it just, you could think of 100 different things that could, you know, it's not materially impacted by a winter, then great.
Yeah, they're not doing the concrete work right now. They are doing, the restoration is held off a little bit, but they're putting the street back in a manner that makes it perfectly navigable. There's no problems.
So as far as we know then, no issues with doing construction in winter?
Absolutely not. If there were, then I would not be recommending this. The one thing that I will mention is what we do is the work that's done right now, digging in the street. We will not do the final restoration of the street pavement until the succeeding year. So we won't be doing we'll do a patch on those trenches that we cut, but we won't go in and resurface all the roads until the next year. What that does,
it allows... Well, the asphalt plants are open and it's warmer, that kind of shit?
Well, that's...
Or you let it settle.
It allows it to settle. It allows it to settle.
And the residents typically know...
Yes.
You patch it, but you let it think a little while, and then you come actually finalize that they got that plan?
We communicate that. That's one of the communication points that we do with the residents.
Yeah, the residents were real acceptable of this program, especially with Schuessler Park being over there, mm-hmm. and there wasn't as much traffic congestion or anything, and...
No, it's all good.
I have a question. John, you make a statement in the staff report that, this model of design build is favored, in your opinion, over the traditional design bid build because it would require significant water main engineering delaying construction and adding to the cost.
Right. One of the benefits of doing the GMP is we're moving forward with the design as construction goes along. With a traditional design bid build, we have to have a very solid plan that's in place that we finalize with the with an engineering firm. Then that plan is taken and it goes out to bid. and the specifications that are used have to be right down to the nth detail. When we're doing a GMP project, we're working with the contractor as the project moves along. So if there's an adjustment to a fire hydrant, there's no added cost for us.
What are the cost savings, if you had to estimate by doing it this way?
And from a percentage perspective, maybe 10%. It's not huge.
Well, $275,000 is huge.
That's an estimate. Just because we don't have to go through all of those engineering costs. Mm-hmm. They're still doing engineering. We still have to get an IEPA permit, but essentially we're doing it from a set of plans that's drawn on a sheet, and it can be a couple pages instead of 20 pages. Mm-hmm. That's an estimate.
Okay.
Just following up on that.
Go ahead.
Madam Chair. So when we first started doing these, it always struck me as a way for us to basically pick someone to work with. They bear responsibility and risk. We write the check, and then you get more stuff done. Correct.
Yeah, if we want to add a fire hydrant.
You guys, it's not on your plate to manage this. They manage it.
They manage it from start to finish.
Not a bad outsourcing model.
Any other comments or questions about this project?
Nope.
Is there a motion?
Madam Chair.
Trustee Ruzic.
I move to recommend to the Village Board to waive the bid process and recommend accepting the proposal from Burke LLC of Rosemont, Illinois, for the Fairway Estates Stage 3 Drainage and Water Main Improvement Project with a guaranteed maximum price of $2,714,550.
Second.
All in favor?
If I just could interject, this item is also going direct to board, just so we can make sure that the work is done in the winter. Otherwise, it would have been delayed several weeks while we waited for board approval.
No, I get it. So.
Did you call for a vote?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
You said aye.
I did.
I interrupted. Well, I apologize.
That's all right. Someone interrupted.
You're going to say aye. We all heard her say aye. Did you guys hear her say aye?
I want to take my official vote.
The press heard you say aye.
I had an aye. Development Services, rule of minutes.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Do we have to say it louder? Aye.
Professional Engineering Services with Christopher Burke.
Carrie, you want to just describe what this contract is? And are any of these type of services passed back on to a developer, or is this a contract that's separate and apart from?
Yeah.
We do want to hear from you, Carrie.
Hello.
There we go.
The retainer is not passed on. That is just for provide staff support. They do all of our private engineering reviews, and those costs are passed through directly to the petitioner.
Got it. Okay. Are there any other questions?
Nope.
Madam Chair?
Trustee Fenton.
Move to recommend to the Village Board to approve the professional engineering service contract with Christopher B. Burke Engineering LTD in the amount of $102,500 per month as outlined in the proposal.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Bill Orland, fiscal year 2019.
Madam Chair, this is a program that was started back in the recession in 2010 when we had a dip in residential startups. Over the years, we phased some of the components out, but we are recommending approval of the Build Orland that is still the deferral of the permit fees at the time of occupancy. This is just for single-family homes.
Madam Chair?
Trustee Dodge.
Just a quick question. Carrie, what do you see in terms of demand for residential construction?
For single family homes.
Joe turned the microphone off while you weren't looking. No, Joe turned it off. When you were looking up here, Joe turned it off. Just so you know.
I believe it. He's sneaky, he would do that. I did just have it on though. I did not touch it either. Right.
Hurry up, you're gonna run out of time again.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, 3 minutes.
Right. I'm not gonna sing.
Yeah, 3 minutes.
All right.
We have a 1 minute warning.
What we are seeing is not a ton of single-family homes. What we're seeing is a lot of the attached single-family homes, which is the attached ranches and villas, which are very, very popular right now. The townhome developments, we're still seeing that. You know, we have the smaller individual subdivisions with maybe three or four lots that you guys have seen come through, you know, periodically. But we're not seeing a big, massive demand for single-family homes, mostly because we don't have the land available, unless you look at Gallagher and Henry's property. And they're not really moving on any of their property. And they really do hold up the majority of the big tracts of land that are available for single-family homes.
Got it. I mean, so is this, it can't just be us, right? It feels to me this is kind of regional, national, that the demand for housing product has changed. Is that fair?
Yes.
Because I keep, the reason I'm asking is I keep seeing, you know, new family, single, the construction's not doing as well as it used. So
right.
I want to kind of ask what you're seeing.
We're seeing that too. We're seeing that it's soft. Now, every community is a little bit different from the next. So the communities that are the younger communities that I want to say that aren't maturing like we are have more land available, and they have land that's owned by multiple different owners. You're seeing more single-family homes being built. Also, I'll be honest with you, a lot of those seem to be like maybe south of I-80, the new Lenox area. Some of those are starting to see, you're starting to see those pick up a little bit as well. But as far as our homes, we're 75-80% built out. We don't have a lot of land available. We're starting to see not as many of those single-family homes as we used to see in the day. Yeah. But the attached single-family is still the driving force in Orland Park's market.
Gotcha. Thank you.
And I think that has to do with affordability. I mean, mm-hmm. for a builder to build an attached single-family home is getting two homes on one lot, right? I mean,
right.
This isn't... No, demand. So I do think in other communities there is greater demand. I think it has to do with the affordability of the housing too. So unfortunately, to build a home in Orland Park is not what it would take to build in another community. It's one of these newer, younger communities that you're talking about.
Our housing starts that we're seeing are the still the much larger homes that you see built. And they're in the more expensive homes that are usually in the $400,000-$500,000 ranges is what we're seeing for a single family detached. And townhomes are obviously lower than that as well.
Yeah, that's not surprising. Did we put this on the floor, didn't we? Do we have a motion?
Nope, we didn't do a motion yet.
Right. We need a motion.
Madam Chair?
Trustee Fenton.
Move to recommend to the Village Board to approve an extension of the Build Orland program for the fiscal year 2019 to allow the payment deferral of permit fees for new single-family residential permits.
Excuse me, second.
Bless you. Favor.
Aye.
El Mezcal, special use.
So, Madam Chair, this is a special use for the existing Mexican restaurant that is located inside the BP gas station at the intersection of 143rd and LaGrange Road. It has a very, very loyal, very, very wide following. They have excellent food, and they have been so successful in getting their message of what great food they have out that they've needed to add some additional seating inside that, which has triggered a special use permit. As noted in the staff report, there are some conditions tied to the special use, some landscaping improvements, some painting the exterior, some connections that we've been looking to get for a while that they've agreed to do as well. So this is a good project.
Am I disqualified if I just ate there for dinner tonight?
Well, the owner is here.
Yeah.
So, no, all my staff probably ate there today for lunch, to be honest.
They get more business than the gas station, actually, because his price
I know.
Is 20.
They might have saved the gas station.
In case you don't know, they were in Chicago Magazine.
Yes,
right?
We're aware of
it. Places to eat in Orland Park.
No, God love them. I mean,
yeah.
Some of the best barbecue in Texas is at gas station. So,
And the owner is, she's here tonight if you have any questions for her. But we're excited about the special use, and they're doing fabulous business.
It's great to hear. So, thank you.
Did you bring samples?
Yeah.
Do you have any food with you?
Mooch? Madam Chair?
Trustee Dodge.
Move to recommend to the Village Board of Trustees approval of a special use permit amendment for the El Mezcal restaurant to allow a restaurant with seating inside the BP Automotive Service Station located 14299 LaGrange in Orland Park as recommended December 11, 2018 Planning Commission meeting and is fully referenced below.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, good luck.
Done.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yeah, too bad that BP station's 20 cents higher than any other BP station.
Yeah, I don't know, quite sure what the hell they're thinking.
I don't know. Nobody buys gas there. They just come for a week.
Oh, yeah. All right, that was fun.
You know, John, I'm plugging. You know, older, fatter, and uglier than the last time you saw me.
Hey, I might, go by the way of you and Mike.
Doesn't feel that bad. Your hair will probably color for a day or two.
I'm already ugly.
You know, when you get a shaver, or just buzz it close. Cause this is basically Mike shaves. He takes it down with a bit. So
yeah,
he's got some. Yeah, I'm looking. This is my almost legal. I gotta work. So good luck with the shaver. That's sad to hear about your buddy.
Yeah, brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law, what kind of cancer?
Pancreatic.
It's bad.
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah.